Feature was the serrated recurve trigger guard bow. Dolores fumbled for it, trying to lie still, faking sleep, feeling her heart pounding. Her fingers touched the cold metal of the butt, and she started to withdraw it. To her surprise, the figure still hadn't moved. One stood close to the window, and one at the foot of her bed. As far as she could make out in the filtered moonlight, neither was carrying a weapon. She closed her hand on the Smith & Wesson, her finger going for the trigger. She always kept one round under the hammer, despite the risk of an accidental misfire, and she knew that the safety was off. Dolores powered herself upright, finger tight on the trigger, keeping the barrel of the powerful weapon moving between the two figures.
One breath and you're fucking history.
For a few moments, nothing happened.
Pull the trigger, lady.
I can shout for my Sekhmen.
Do it!
You'll get chilled.
The much bulkier man was at the bottom of her bed. From his silhouette, he was incredibly fat, something over 300 pounds.
You have no Sekhmen on the premises. One patrolled outside, and one slept in the back on two-hour shifts.
What's happened to him?
Both sleeping.
Dolores wasn't frightened to use violence. It went with the job. And if she'd carved notches on her gun for every man and woman she'd killed, there would have been 8 or 9 of them. It seemed that she held the best cards, but in her heart, a part of her knew that something was wrong. But she couldn't quite work out what it was.
I'll take you both out!
Enough. We've come to talk to you about some visitors in the Ville. Things we need to know. Things you can do to help. When you've told us what we need to hear, then we'll go away. Leave you alive. More useful to us. But if you were to reveal to anyone that we've been here...
Particularly to these outlanders.
Then we shall return and we will hurt you so horrible that your own mother would weep to see what an ugly corpse you've made. You see how easy it is to reach you, past all the bolts and bars and locks.
Dolores was terrified. In panic, she tugged on the trigger.
I said it was enough. Can you not even tell by its weight that your precious blaster is empty?
Then she knew. She placed the automatic on her coverlet and lay back, her hands up in front of her face to protect herself from the expected attack. He loomed over her, smelling of a mixture of perspiration and scented lotion, his huge hands poised.
Just talk is all. Talk about Ryan Cawdor.
The Allied Merchants Federation of Deathlands had come from far and wide for its annual 3-day convention in Twin Forks. Because of its site at the confluence of the Big White and the Sippy, most had come by river, while others had come along the dusty coach roads. It seemed to Ryan that all of them were cast from the same mold, middle-aged, white, overweight, in suits that were a little too tight across the stomach, carrying leather cases and wearing large badges that proclaimed their names and firms and where they came from. And all of them had eager, sweating smiles pasted on their highly colored faces. They reminded Ryan of an assortment of pigs disguised in human clothes. Dolores Stanwyck's concern was well-based. Ryan had gone along to sit quietly in a shadowy corner of the Montana Queen, minding his own business, eating a bowl of chili and sipping at a schooner of beer. He watched as the delegates to the convention enjoyed themselves, which mostly involved drinking too much, too fast, and upsetting the regulars and the hard-working girls.
Hey, don't be! Why don't you just come sit on my lap?
Bartender! Don't you have any good liquors?
Dolores herself was doing what she could to keep the atmosphere pleasant. She wore a low-cut brocade dress and her highest heels, keeping a smile in place despite all the aggravation, circulating through the bar, offering a free drink here and there to keep the group sweet. She constantly turned her head to spot trouble brewing, making sure that her bouncers, including Jack and JB, were on their toes and in the right place at the right time. There had been several minor scuffles with a hideaway pistol drawn in one of them, but the Sec Force had kept the lid on it, taking away the unfired weapon from the staggering drunk merchant without triggering more trouble. There were two particular girls backing towards Ryan's table that five of the conventioners had their eyes on.
Come on, ladies. I'm just saying, give us a special discount.
Yeah, you're the oldest gaudy sluts here. What are you trying to pull with prices like that?
Five of you want fucking? Then you pay the fucking price for five.
I give a good discount up in my store in Oregon.
That's fine, but we don't here in the Montana Queen. Check it out with Miss Stanwyck.
Suppose we just take you out back. And that way you give us 100% off the price.
Suddenly, unnoticed, Jack and JB were at the merchant's side.
Having trouble, Maria?
Yeah. These gentlemen say they're going to drag us both out back and rape us.
Hey, boys. We were just having some sporting with the hookers. They kind of got the wrong end of the handle.
That's so. Then best let them go about their business, and you stick to enjoying the rest of the pleasures of the Montana Queen.
One of the other men, even fatter, whose name badge had fallen off, was struggling to focus his rolling poached egg eyes on Jack.
Hey, this snow-haired son of a bitch is some kind of muty freak. You don't take no shit from muty freaks.
Ryan smiled grimly, watching as the white-haired teenager made his move. Jack pressed the needle point of his throwing knife against the merchant's throat, shutting his mouth like a trap.
Not a freak. Not a muty.
Please.
No more talk. Just drink. Quietly. You understand? Understand?
You're killing him. Leave him be. We made a mistake and we're real sorry. Let us be.
Jack pushed the blade hard enough to draw a trickle of blood down the sweating neck. Jack's knife vanished again into its concealed sheath. The merchant fumbled for a kerchief to mop away the streak of crimson, staring at it with wide eyes, as though he'd never seen blood before. Ryan checked his wrist chron. It would be close to an hour before they implemented their plan. Twin Forks contained a number of main streets, linked with a maze of alleys. The Montana Queen had a row of three outhouses that stood in a dark courtyard, opening onto one of the narrow lanes. Even at midday, it was a gloomy place. Ryan had been waiting out there for 4 or 5 minutes, standing patiently behind an untidy pile of empty ale casks. To anyone coming from the bright oil lamps of the saloon, he was completely invisible. Doc was in the alley, with Christy and Mildred as backup if it was needed. JB and Jack would remain in the saloon, drawing attention to themselves so that there was no danger of their being implicated in the robbery. It was Ryan's plan, and he was ready to activate it. He'd borrowed Doc Swallow's kerchief and knotted it around his lower face to help muffle and disguise his voice. A balaclava, bought from a busy maritime supply store, was pulled down over his head, concealing the missing eye. Normally, the outhouses were busy, but nobody had come out for several minutes. Doc appeared in the entrance.
Is all well, my dear fellow?
Yeah. Get back outside. I'll call you if I need any help.
Just that several minutes have drifted by and I...
Nobody's come out. Get on back and keep quiet.
Of course, of course. Leaving right away, old friend. Right away.
A rectangle of golden light ran across the cobbles of the yard from the rear door of the Montana Queen for a moment. Ryan drew the 6-hour and peered into the blackness, making out a man alone, walking unsteadily toward the nearest of the outhouses. The man tried to tug across the bolt in the door.
Hell. Close, will you? Oh, screw it.
Ryan had levered the bolt loose with the tip of his panga only a half hour before. Ryan moved with stealth across the damp cobbles. Though the sun was at its height, very little light filtered through into the yard between the steep walls of the surrounding buildings. Ryan glanced around, making sure nobody else was leaving the Montana Queen, then grabbed the rusted door handle.
Someone in here! Close the door, will you?
Ryan wrinkled his nose at the foul smell coming from inside, then stepped in closer. He pressed the barrel of the 6-hour against the chubby man's cheek, hard enough for the foresight to break the skin and draw a warm thread of blood.
What the hell?
Brad, just give me your jacket and you live.
You can't have it.
One more word, and you go head first into the shit with a bullet in your brain. Give me now.
Ryan pushed harder.
Oh! Sure, sure. Just move the blaster out of my face, will you, mister?
Ryan eased the pressure a little, bracing himself against the door. He leaned forward until his mouth was only inches from the merchant's ear.
Just a word and you die.